Blog Talk Radio.
SOC Radio. I'm your host, Tony Nix, founder and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. We are back. We've been off the air for a few months. We are back. We're coming back brand new. We're going in a different direction. It is time to do some things differently. Again, my name is Tony Nix, and I am the founder and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children, based here in New York City in Southeast Queens. Our call-in number tonight is 424-258-9271. Again, call-in number is 424-258-9271. 877-207-9271. Press 1. I'll know you're in the queue, and I'll bring you in on tonight's discussion. Also, our chat room is open. Feel free to leave your thoughts and comments in the chat room. I will try to respond to those that I see. Also, if you cannot get into the chat room, you have to sign in to the Blog Talk site, which you can do by either Twitter or Facebook. Again, welcome to all. I've missed you. I hope that you've missed me. And tonight we're coming back with something that has taken place just recently. I'm real excited about it. I don't know about you. There may be a few disgruntled individuals, but you are also welcome to be a part of our discussion tonight. Tonight we are talking about the President's Brother's Keeper Initiative. This is long overdue, and me, myself, I am thrilled and overjoyed about it. This is what we're talking about tonight for the next 90 minutes. Again, our call-in number is 424-258-9271. Let me introduce you to my co-host for tonight, and that is my friend and partner, Sister Amunet. Good evening, Sister. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Good evening, Tony.
Welcome, Sister. Welcome. We've been gone for a minute, but now we're back. Get ready, Blog Talk Radio, because we are not taking no prisoners. So nice to have you, Sister.
Thank you for having me, Tony.
Yes. We got a heck of a topic here tonight. The lines are already filling up. But before we take on any calls, you know, what's your view on this?
Well, again, I watched, the entire speech, the entire initiative. I think it's good to have the support. But me being the person that I am analytically and looking at things from a larger perspective, I mean, I guess in his second term he can sort of do what he would like to do and what he feels needs to be done, and then you have groups like the NAACP and all these people that put pressure on him to take into consideration issues dealing with the black community, black and brown community. I never thought that that was his responsibility overall, so I didn't understand why Cornel West and Tavis and them were getting on his case about that. And until he was the black president of the black United States, he's the president. It's an office. It's an office that he was selected and elected to. So, you know, that's for everybody. That's for all people. Do I think that it will change anything? I don't know. I don't know if it'll change anything. Do I think it will be undone if the powers that be want it to be undone? They can undo it after he's out of office. I think we shouldn't be looking for government to step in to save us, because ultimately we have to save ourselves. I mean, I think the idea and the concept is positive. I think that's very good. But I think what needs to be looked at is not developing a solution that's going to empower them, but to look at how we got here in the first place and starting with the root of the issue and then working towards a solution. So, you know, overall, I was touched by the speech. You know, I was touched by the fact that, you know, the president's realness, you know, about his own past and, you know, his initiative and his plan and how the other young men were touched even in their meeting with him to discuss, you know, the overall initiative. I can't say, I don't know if it's going to make a great breakthrough or light a day for the young people. That has to start at home. So That's my position on it, according to how much I know, how much I've researched on it.
Well, you know, Susan, I think that's a pretty fair assessment. You know, wait and see what's going to happen. I support it, 110%.
Mm-hmm.
Our young men of color are past due needing assistance. And I really haven't heard the president speak on it to this length until now. You know, he says here that I'm reaching out to some of America's leading foundations and corporations on a new initiative to help more young men of color facing especially tough odds to stay on track and reach their full potential.
Right.
Okay. He also said on January 28th, 2014, there are a lot of kids out there who need help, who are getting a lot of negative reinforcement, and is there more than that we can do to give them the sense that their country cares about them and values them and is willing to invest in them? And, you know, I think that's a true statement, you know, because our children really feel, especially young men of color, they really don't think anyone gives a damn about them. You know, one of the issues is what's going on in the home, okay?
Yeah.
At the same time, there are a lot of dysfunctional homes, a lot of homes where there are no fathers or nobody, any leaders that can give them any kind of structure. So now we got to try to assist them outside the home. And I believe this is what part of this initiative does, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's reaching out to organizations, foundations, okay, that have programs that have proven results that they work, okay? He is willing to allocate money to these different organizations to help these young men of color. We need it. We need it. Money is tight. We're not using our own resources and assets to make it happen. So he's got the money to invest in our youth, and I'm not going to frown upon it. I'm not going to try to pick it apart. You know, I support it 100%, 100%, you know, and it's not going to be an easy journey. It's going to be a long journey. You know, you got to put a lot of work into this. We got to watch out for those who are going to try to be opportunists and try to capitalize for their own selfish gain. So, you know, we got to go in with a very honest view that it's not really about, say, Enough is Enough, Save Our Children, or any other organization. This is about the young men of color and helping them become productive members of this society.
Mm-hmm.
Because the deck is stacked against them, and it is time for change, and it is time to help them, not sell them a dream, okay? Make it a mission to happen. We're going to go to the phone lines in a few minutes, but first I'm going to take a brief break, screen some of these calls, because we got plenty of folk on the line, and we're going to come right back. So don't go nowhere. Stand by.
Dead real. Yo, why is Jada kiss as hard as it gets? Why is the industry designed to keep the artists in debt? And why them dudes ain't riding if they party your set? And why they never get it popping but they party to death? Yeah, and why they gon' give you life for a murder? Turn around, only give you 8 months for a burner. Going down, why they selling niggas CDs for under a dime? And if it's all love, daddy, why you come with your nine? Why my niggas ain't get that cake? Why is the brother up north better than Jordan that ain't get that break? Why you in stack instead of trying to be fly? Why is ratting at an all-time high? Why are you even alive? Why they kill Tupac and Chris? Why at the bar you don't take straight shots instead of popping? Why them bullets have to hit that door? Why did Kobe have to hit that raw? Why he kissed that whore? Why?
All that I've been giving is the pain that I've been living. They got me in the system.
Push pounds and powder. Why did Bush knock down the towers? Why you around them cowards? Why Aaliyah have to take that flight? Why my nigga D ain't pull out his Ferrari? Why he take that bike? Why they gotta open your package and read your mail? Why they stop letting niggas get degrees in jail? Why you gotta do 85% of your time? And why do niggas lie in 85% of their rhymes? Why a nigga always want what he can't have? Why I can't come through when the pecan jack? Why they crack have to hit so hard, even though it's almost over? Why niggas can't get no jobs? Why they come up with the witness protection? Why they let the Terminator win the election? Come on, pay attention. Why selling the stores that you could sell in the streets? Why say the hottest shit but be selling the least? Why? Let a white man pop her to get an Oscar. And why Denzel have to be crooked before he took it? Why they didn't make the CL6 with a clutch? And if you don't smoke, then why the hell you reaching for my Dutch? Why rap? Cause I need airtime. Why be on the curb with a wild lie? I need a bear sign. Why all the young niggas is dying? Cause they moms at work, they pops are gone, they living with iron. Why they ain't give us a cure for AIDS? Why my diesel have fiends in the spot on the floor for days? Why you screaming like it's a slug, it's only the hawk? Why my buzz in LA ain't like it is in New York? Why they forcing you to be hard? Why ain't you a thug by choice? Why the whole world love my voice? Why I try to tell them that it's the flow, son? And you know why they made the new 20s, cause I got all the old ones. That's why.
All that I've been giving is the pain that I've been living. They got me in the system.
You're listening to EIESOC Radio. I'm your host, Tony Nix. Welcome to tonight's show. Tonight, we're talking about President Obama's Brother's Keeper Initiative. Our call-in number is 424-258-9271. Press 1. I know you're in the queue. I'll bring you in on tonight's conversation. Also, chat room is open. Feel free to leave your comments and thoughts. I try to read them off the air and even try to reply to some of them. Again, if you do call in, please be aware of background noise. This is being taped, and I try to have a clear taping. So please be aware of background noise. Also, if you do call in and you disagree with some of the comments, that's all right. We have that at times. All we ask that, if you do disagree, please do not be disrespectful. We are grown-ups here, and we try to conduct ourselves that way. I'm going to go to the phone lines. Before I do, again, my co-host tonight is Sister Amunet. The phone lines is filling up. I know that first song was kind of hard for some of y'all, but, you know, I think the title of that song kind of says it all. Why? I'm going to go right to the phone line. I'm going to a brother, I believe he's out of Brooklyn, New York, and that is Brother Don Swiss. How we feeling tonight, brother? Can you hear me?
I'm feeling good. Can't complain. God is great.
All the time.
Yes,
say
yes.
Hello to my co-host.
How you doing,
Say hello to my co-host. How you doing?
I'm well. I'm glad that you decided to stop on by. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am, definitely. I personally totally, totally agree with Obama's initiative that he's trying to do. And I think now he has the kind of handcuffs is off him a little bit so he can kind of put these types of things in place for us brothers. You know, I get, you know, so much over the last, since he's been in office, you know, everybody keeps saying, you know, what is he doing for us? And now everybody's been just jumping on him. Of his own people has just been jumping on him about what is he doing for us. But you have to understand, he's still a black man in a system, a westernized system. So he can take baby steps. He can't do everything at one time. So now this is what he's trying to do is trying to do something for his own kind now. Now, the question is, will we be in position to take advantage of it? How many of us black Americans will step up to the plate and take advantage of what he's putting into play? Because it's easy to say he ain't doing nothing for us, but at the same time, when he puts things in place and he sets up programs, let's say if there was five other things that he initiatives that he created, how much of our own people would take advantage of it? So we have to step up as a people to take advantage of a lot of these things. And personally, I read and watch politics a lot, and it seems like he gets a lot of. As far as voting for him, he got a lot of, you know, love from his people. But I don't believe that he gets 100% support from his own people. And that needs to, and unfortunately, you know, it's just a shame that it's like that. But it is what it is. But now he's doing something for his people, for black men. So now what are we going to do? That's the question. And that is the question that every black man, black family need to ask themselves. Okay, he's putting something in place. Are we going to support it 100% instead of criticizing him, instead of jumping on his case for every little thing? Are we going to support it? That's what it comes down to. Now there should be no more criticism. There should be no this and that. Okay, what are we going to do now? Are we going to support it or continue to throw darts at him? Because he's getting it already in the house that he's in right now. So that's pretty much what I have to. That's pretty much all I have to say with it. That's just like, for me, from my personal experience, from working in prison, and people say that, you know, people know what prison is about. Now there are a lot of programs and a lot of things in prison for inmates, in which we know 80% of black men are locked up or incarcerated. There are a lot of programs for black men to take advantage of inside of prisons, but most of them don't take advantage of those programs, and that's why the prison system cuts funding to a lot of these programs. You know what I'm saying? So now, you know what I mean? If we're not taking advantage of it, we cannot complain if it gets taken away, because as this program progresses, better believe this, whoever becomes the next president, it can only last as long as we support it 100%. And that's just what it comes down to.
Well, it must be in motion. Whoever comes in behind President Obama, okay, mm-hmm. we have until 2016, all right, to make the most of it, because we don't know who's coming in behind him, who may want to come in and start cutting this and that. So we must make the most of it right now. You know,
absolutely.
I got to stay in right now and what we need to do now and how to make it happen. Simple as that. I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know who's what in 2016. I know what we need to do right now, and now is the time. You know, you were talking about, you know, who supports and who doesn't support. You know, I wrote something recently talking about what you're talking about. And before I take my next call, I'm just going to read it. As far as I'm concerned, so far since President Obama's 2014 State of the Union address, he's keeping his word as he stated, 2014 will be a year of action. on February 26, 2014, the president launched the Our Brothers Keeper Initiative. This initiative is to help young men of color succeed in today's society. Due to the deck being stacked against them. Already, the president's newest action to help our young men of color in America is being met with criticism and skepticism. Uh-huh. It's the usual ones who straddle both sides of the fence, whose names I won't mention. I will tell you this, though. They look like you and I. These are so-called scholars of color who profess their love and concern for young men of color, still seem to have an agenda to discredit the president. One minute they're talking about the president not doing enough, and in the next breath, they're criticizing and scrutinizing his efforts to make things better. I call these people agents of distraction, who don't want us to believe or have hope for our young men of color. By the way, of the president's actions to improve their status in America's urban communities. I stand with the president and his agenda for young men of color. This is way overdue. Now it is time for us to do our part, because the president is counting on us to help make it happen. Our young men of color need to know we support them in their struggle and effort to become productive members of society. We must make it a priority to promote hope for those who believe it's hopeless. We must give them choices and convince them that in spite of the odds, they can make it. Mentorship and critical thinking workshops must be applied by us with skills in this field. Consistency in developing healthy mindsets. Some young men are going to need mental health assistance. We need people who are willing to volunteer on all levels. These are our sons, grandsons, stepsons, and nephews. Gun violence and prison have claimed enough of our young men of color. We must make an unconditional commitment to being our brother's keeper. The president stated that the GOP frowns on his initiative because of money for programs. Still, the president indicated there is money which will be allotted to those who have programs that work and produce results for young men of color. We can also use our own resources and assets to help with costs. The naysayers are not with this initiative, because they work for those who don't want to see the president's initiative succeed. Their primary purpose is to be a distraction. Being our brother's keeper will help our young men of color succeed, and succeed they will by way of God and us. This is not a dream. This is the mission.
Yeah.
And that was written by me. Now, if you disagree with that, again, call-in number tonight is 424-258-9271. Press 1. I know you're in the queue, and you can join tonight's conversation. Going back to the phone line, bringing in this brother, good friend of mine, and that is Brother Roland. Good evening, Brother Roland. Can you hear me?
Yes, Tony.
Welcome to tonight's discussion. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, man, and congratulations that you're back on the air. And you know what my signature statement is. Excuse me. You know what my signature statement is. I co-sign you, brother. I co-sign you. So with that being said, I must say, man, that I would take strong exception to any pessimism thrown out towards Obama's efforts on this project, man. I mean, the premise is that we can help these young bloods, and his hands are not tied down by government. I just want to read a quick perspective of his statement on February 27th, where he clearly says, while there may not be much of an appetite in Congress for sweeping new programs or major new initiatives right now, we all know we can't wait. And so the good news is, folks, that the private sector, I repeat, the private sector, you know about supporting, boosting the achievement of young men of color is to this country. They are ready to step in. They are ready, not Congress, the private industry. He said today he was happy to announce, for the most part, that he was looking at an investment from the private sector of at least $200 million, not Congress, once again. And that's on top of $150 million that the private sector has already invested, not Congress. So he also says that to test which strategies are working for our kids and expand them in cities across the country. One last piece, he says, many of these folks have been on the forefront lines in this fight for a long time. What's more, they are joined by business leaders, not Congress. Corporate leaders, not Congress. Not Congress, I'm putting in. Entrepreneurs, not Congress. I'm emphasizing not Congress, who are stepping towards forward. To support the effort as well. So with that being said, Obama is not depending nor is he tied down by those racist jihadists in Congress. And thus, this is a program that's totally independent, on its own, and appears to be supported, created, and will be run strictly within the realm of capitalism. I'll leave it there at that point.
Well, stand by, Brother Logan. Don't go nowhere. I want to go to my co-host, see if she has any comments on what you just said. Sister Aminette?
Yes, I'm here. I was listening, and I'm not anti. At all. I just think that our problem is so much deeper than government intervening with my brother's keeper initiative plan. I think our problem is so much deeper than that.
It's not a government
plan.
Well,
hold on, Brother Logan. Wait a minute, Brother Logan. Let her finish.
It's Obama. It's government. You know, I think our problem is deeper than that. Our problem, especially with our males, is much deeper than community, if you want to say that, initiated by Obama to come in and do things for our boys, such as, community efforts, skills, training, collective spiritual, mental health. It's deeper than that. The problem is deeper. You cannot, that's maybe a start. And we can look at it as a start. But I'm not excited until I see results. I'm not excited until I see results. I don't get excited over stuff because it wouldn't be the first time. I don't get excited because there are too many things that need to be undone with our people, even in the entire diaspora. We're talking about the United States of America. That's one aspect. My mindset is diaspora. I think global. I don't think United States because that's one small country. We are spread out across the globe. There is a problem globally. Period.
What's your solution?
So, and it's over 500 to 600 years of undoing crazy stuff that has happened to us on so many levels. So
what's your solution?
This is minute. This is minor. This may be a start for something, but it's minor. And it cannot undo 600 years of what happened to us in the diaspora. It cannot undo it. You have to, first of all, there's something called, there's one theory out there called the spell. You can't break the spell by an initiative or community action that has taken place. You, there is a spell on our people's minds psychologically. It runs so deep. You want to talk about fathers not being in the home because, and these boys are weak because of that? We got to get to the root. This is nice. I'm inspired. I'd like to see what happens. But I need to see results down the line to get excited. I'm sorry?
You have to be a part of, get some results. You have to be a part of this to get some results. You can't stand on the sideline and say, hey, I'm going to watch you, and I'm going to see what you're going to do now because I've been so disappointed for so much and so long. You got to jump in there, sister, if you want to be a part of it and have a little optimism instead of this pessimism.
I am a part of it as an educator. I was a part of it in the Atlanta school system, high school, teaching black boys, dealt with it every day, special ed especially. I was a part of it. I am a part of it. I will continue to be a part of it. I'm the one that was rallying in the streets. I've been doing that. I've been supporting our youth. I'm sorry?
What is your solution? What is your solution? If this is not
working. There is no solution. There is no solution.
Okay.
There is no overnight fix. The whole thing is it's a process. And I could be here all night telling you different solutions. There are so many layers to why we are in the condition that we are in. We'd be here all night and all day tomorrow if I really went into it.
I think your premise is dangerous.
If I really went into it.
I think your premise is dangerous.
Okay, and that's okay. That's good news to me. That means that's good news. And that's okay. There are no quick fixes, and President Obama surely doesn't have a clue as to what we've been through as a people, being in his upbringing and where he comes from. He has no idea what's going on in urban America. He has never experienced the ghetto.
I got to go.
Hold on, brother.
He has never
experienced it in his life.
I got to go to your host, man.
Hold on, brother Roland. Let her finish. Go ahead, sister.
He can't relate to the actual urban struggle. He is an international product of society. He's a globetrotter. He's been around the world, and that's a beautiful thing. There's nothing wrong with that. I champion that. That makes him a different kind of nigga. Okay? He doesn't understand.
Brother Roland, hold on.
Look at
the United States of America. He's not even an African-American. He's an American who is of African descent. He didn't have the African-American experience. There's nowhere in his lineage, unless he's the child of Mr. Davis. But that's another theory. Okay?
Wow.
He's not even an African-American. He doesn't understand what's going on at NYCHA.
Wow.
He's never been there. It's not his experience. He grew up with his white mother, who was a PhD, his white grandmother, and his white grandfather. He does not understand. He maybe later got some understanding through his experiences and trying to find himself and find relationship in the black community and all that much later. But that's not his upbringing. That's not his upbringing. So I have a different view on that. If it works, it works. I want to see something happen, but it's not gonna happen in the next 10 years.
Well, you've already denigrated the president. You've denigrated the leader that kind of program on, so I can't see how it's an oxymoron. You want to see it work, but you want to denigrate the leader.
He's not the leader. You're the leader. He's not the leader. You're the leader. You are the leader. Tony is the leader. I'm the leader. He's not the leader. He's not the leader. You are.
I don't have my hands on their missiles. You got yours?
It doesn't matter. And neither does he. Somebody's over him, too. Neither does he.
Yeah,
somebody
God.
Calls the shots for
God.
Him as well. So
yeah,
you
God.
Are
okay.
the leader. You go out in your community and you lead. And it starts with you. It starts with me. It starts with Tony, and it starts with other people, day by day, undoing 600 years of colonialism, 600 years of oppression, day by day. And it's not going to happen overnight. There is no program that can fix it. It is a spiritual, psychological problem and an economic one. and a sociological one that's going to take decades to fix. Because I can look on the TV and see what my teenage son is looking at. It's going to take decades. He's not looking at it, but what's out there for him to look at. This is bad. And it ain't, an initiative is not going to fix it. I'm telling you, you mark my words. It may be a start. It's nice. It's wholesome. It feels good. I hope it does. And that's it. That's my position.
All right. Before we move on, Brother Roland, I'm gonna let you get a quick comment in.
It's a done deal. I mean, she's expressing her First Amendment, you know, rights. And listen, I can't challenge that. I would just say that I disagree with it. That's all.
And that's okay. That's okay.
We can agree to disagree.
And this dialogue, this is not about who's right, who's wrong. That's your view. That's your view. Bottom line.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
I'm gonna go to the phone line. I'm gonna bring a lady into the discussion. And stand by, Brother Roland. Don't go anywhere. Welcome to the show, Sister Angela.
Hi, Tony. How are you?
Good evening. Welcome to tonight's discussion. What's your view on the brother's initiative by the president?
Well, when you deal with many murders I have dealt with here in Florida, I'm excited about it. Because I feel, you know, I'm dealing with children getting murdered every single day or two times a week or whatever. I did four murders last week. And I feel like I got a little hope. We've been in this field for 11 years on the front line, going to 228 funerals that I have attended. I feel like I got a little hope. I have to do something to help these kids. I'm glad that the president has brought this on because somebody else has brought it on.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that. Uh-huh. And it might lift the kids up some because I'm telling you, I am so tired of our children getting slaughtered on the streets or going to prison. I know everybody in disagreement about different things, but everybody's entitled to that. But that's just my view on a take of murder. And now saving our kids. That's what I'm all about here in Florida, saving our children. If it's that, if it helps, I'm all for it. Anything that'll help our kids.
All right. Thank you for sharing your view. We're going to take a short break. I'm going to go back to the phone lines. I also have a question. So please, don't go anywhere, anybody, because we're coming right back.
All the ghettos around the world. Dig this. Get the Pablo's Joe. Shut
all
it.
The children say.
Check it out.
There's a world out there that I wanna see. There's a man that I'm destined to be. I won't be stopped by the ghetto streets. I believe inside that I can't be beat. This life could be a ball and chain if you let yourself get caught in the game. I had some friends who drugs for dough, but I don't intend to go down that road. One day I'm gonna change the world, make a better place for every boy and girl. Everyone in need, homeless families, have a place to sleep and food to eat. I'll take every gun off the street so another tear won't be shed in grief. And every thug in every hood, I will make them change from bad to good. Children say,
yeah, yeah.
All the children say,
yeah, yeah.
You're listening to EIESOC Radio. I'm your host, Tony Nix. Welcome back to tonight's show. Tonight, we're talking about President Obama's Brothers Keepers Initiative. Calling number is 424-258-9271. Press 1. I know you're in the queue. Also, the chat room is open. Feel free to leave your comments and thoughts. I want to also welcome those that are in the chat room. I can't see your names, but if you have any comments, feel free to chime in. My co-host tonight is Sister Amunet. We have quite a few men and women on the line tonight. I'm going to go to my next caller, and that is coming out of the BX. And that's for those who don't know, the Boogie Down Bronx, Brother Mike X. Peace and blessings, brother. Can you hear me?
Hey, peace and blessings, Brother Tony. And peace and blessings to my homegirl, Sister Amunet. You got to come back to the Bronx, sis.
I know. I need to stop off at Barnes & Noble. What's on your mind? What's on your mind? What are your thoughts on tonight?
Wow. I might sound like a broken record to those who know me best, you know. You know, what I long for is a rejuvenation, you know, of the do-for-self mentality, you know, in the black neighborhoods. You know, I long for the village. You know, we always talk about how it used to be, you know, back in the day, you know, when we had this togetherness and when, you know, something was wrong or somebody got, you know, was out of pocket, how they would be chastised or corrected, you know, by this one and that one. And then when they got it home, then they'd get it again. You know, for me, you know, I operate my mindset. I operate my thought process, you know, in a way where I strive to be the embodiment of that, you know, of that mindset within me. You know, that's what I talk about. That's what I represent. You know, whether it's in my conversations with the young people that I work with, whether it's in conversation with my peers, if I'm on Facebook, you know, YouTube, whatever it is, you know, I want to see that type of practice come back to the inner city black neighborhoods across this country. That's what it needs most. Wherever we at across this country, particularly in the inner city regions, grassroots, poverty level, we have politicians who are absentee, MIA. And it doesn't even, you know, it's not even where they have to be white. You know, the neighborhood that I grew up in, you know, sis, there's been three black politicians in my neighborhood on a local level. Because a lot of times people, we get caught up in looking, you know, who the president is. Who the president is doesn't matter as much as who your local city council person is, or your local state assembly person is, or your local state senator is. Those are the representatives that has the most influence over the policies and the decisions made, you know, politically. And if you're not ranking there and being able to hold them accountable, there's no way you'll be able to hold the bigger people accountable, like the borough presidents and the mayors and the governors and the, you know, the Congress people and senators on up to the president. You know, we need some dynamic grassroots leadership that helps to empower the people in the neighborhoods, helps them to rally together to where they can form a legitimate block of concerned citizens, to where we can begin to act as a block. For those who may not know, BLOC is a group united around common interests and concerns. We need to really look into forming blocks of people to where we can exercise more political clout on those local levels, to where we can begin to exercise economic clout on the local level, so that we can hold the business people in our community accountable and/or begin to open up our own businesses that we can flood our dollars into. We need to be able to unite on that local level. And I'm going to say this and I'm going to chime out, you know, to where we can begin to make our ways back into the schools that they're forcing us to send our children to and begin to have the impact to where we can make those schools more reflective of the communities that they must serve.
Yeah.
The curriculums should help us to have the type of love for ourselves, love for our history, you know, knowledge of ourselves so that we begin to see ourselves on the same level of admiration that these other communities see themselves on, so that we will stop believing that the only thing that a black male can do is stand on the corner, so that we stop believing that the only thing that a black young lady can do is have a lot of children and, you know, and not know who the father is and all of these other things that a lot of us, you know, they would have us believe about ourselves. So I'm just going to stop on that right there. And that's what I want to see. That's what I want to work on helping to bring back. You know what I mean? So that we stop depending upon outsiders to do for us what we should be doing for ourselves. So thank you.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Not a problem. And if I may just ask you a question, do you think that we've become more individualistic? And when do you think this took place in our history?
Well, I think that immediately, you know, the civil rights movement, Black Power era, you know, it made some real changes in this nation. And a lot of other communities took their, you know, they took a page out of our book. You know, most recently we can see the gay rights community took a page out of the civil rights book, you know, and they have organized themselves into a political, economic, and social force to where they wield real power in this nation. And just a few short years ago, everybody was no on gay marriage, but when they organized themselves along those lines, taking a page out of our book, now everybody is yes, because they know that this group has legitimate power in this nation. Immediately after, in the 70s, in the 80s, you know, they killed who they couldn't buy off, you know what I mean? And afterwards, you know, once that leadership was gone, a lot of the people in the communities went back to, you know, to just, you know, trying to go along and get along. You know, they flooded a lot of these communities with crack and not crack. Well, crack came later in the 80s with heroin in the 70s and different drugs and things of that nature. You know, and the community just, it was void of leadership. I myself growing up in the 70s and the 80s, had no idea, had no clue of who a Malcolm was or a Black Panther Party was or, you know, anybody that I can look to that would be able to show me a personage of a black personage of intelligence, of dignity, of strength, and what have you. I think it was the individuality came through Reaganomics. It came through the introduction of crack in the 80s. And I feel like we're still dealing with the devastating effects of what crack did to us. You know what I mean? A lot of the children that we're looking at now, they are the babies that were raised by grandparents because their fathers, you know what I mean, were you know, shot down in the streets or serving, you know, federal numbers in the prison system. You know, a lot of their mothers were, you know, either strung out on drugs or serving. You know, so a lot of these kids, the young people that we see today, they did not have the legitimate community raising that they deserved. You know what I mean? And that goes all the way back to bona fide efforts that were made by power interests to destabilize the black and brown neighborhoods. And a lot of us don't want to face up to those things. Like, we would prefer to, you know, participate in the dumbing down of America and, you know, what is, you know, the next reality show. A lot of us don't want to do the homework and operate from the consciousness that we need to be able to operate from so that we can do for ourselves what needs to be done. And that's one of the biggest problems that we're facing today.
Exactly. And in terms of, you know, I think the root problem is not having the black father in the household. And what gets to me most is, how did that happen? How did it get to the place where we accepted when a baby was created that it was okay not to marry the mother of your child when you should be married, hopefully, in the beginning, so that foundation is already laid, because the whole marriage thing is, and we forsake this. We have, it seems like we've forgotten this, or we don't get it, that first and foremost, Marriage is, of course, you love. It's your partner. Should be your best friend. But I'm going to sound very cold and very callous when I say this. But marriage is also a business partnership. That's cold, but that's real. Because
that's what it is.
If you're
it's
family, you're a friend, you're a lover, you're a business partner, because you have to provide an economic footing for your child that you're bringing into this world. And my question, and I asked this of a sister friend of mine, her daughter got pregnant at the age of 16. And it's a cycle because mommy did the same thing. And I said to her, I said, you didn't make him marry her. He's a good kid. You like him. You didn't make him get married. You know, they're not going to get married. No. Why should I do that? I think that should be chosen of the Lord. Okay, but it was all right for her to lay down and have the baby, but you didn't reinforce the marriage. You're letting him get away with a free pass here. And I want to know where that happened with our sisters, where this became cool to, well, you know, he can, as long as he comes on the weekends and gives me my child support, I'm good. That's not, that shouldn't be normal.
That's a topic
that
for
happen?
Another show.
That's I know, but that's
another...
part of the issue with our boys, though, with our children. Our boys are not seeing the father in the household.
You know,
no valid
sis, I just wanted to say this right quick, you know, and working with young people. I've been working with young people for 25 years now, and I work with young, you know, young girls ages 12 to 18. And I feel like, you know, our young girls are so vulnerable in this system right now. And it goes back even into the 60s and the 70s where, you know, with the welfare and what have you, where they would force you to not have any dealings in order for you to get benefits. Like, they undercut the economic foundation for black males. I think black males are the most dangerous from the power system, from the power structure. They are afraid. They are scared to death of black males. They don't want black males to get any understanding of who, you know, they've been and who they could be. They want black males to be economically disenfranchised, brainwashed, down and out on the corner.
There
they want them to be, they want them to be beasts of burden. They want black males to feel like your only worth comes through your physical dominance. You know, and never from, you know, to reclaim your intellectual you know, abilities, you know, so that they can continue to have us killing each other, so that they can continue to have us on that level where they can continue to lock us up and shoot us down in the streets, there'd be no outcry because they're beasts anyway. So they have effectively eliminated black men, not only their role in society, but their role in the family structure, like you said. And they've done it. And, you know, the way they bought the sisters off is, you know, we're going to give you this money, but you can't have no dealings with the father of your children. So this started
right,
a long
he can't
time
be in the
ago.
Household. That's right.
Most definitely.
That's right.
This started a
and
long
that's
time
what I
ago.
Wanted to hear. That's what I wanted to hear. Yeah.
Let me take
so
this next call.
Say, I think we have to go after getting our young sisters together, though. Because
that's
when it. I work with boys and girls, and the guys have been tricked into believing that the sisters are nothing but sexual playthings.
Objects.
You know,
that's
they,
right.
you know,
right.
to be used and abused, and they derive some type of clout status, you know, amongst the other fellas when they're able to do that. The young girls have to be approached and spoken to, and you know, you have to raise your standards. You just absolutely have to raise your standards. You know what I mean? They have this saying, mother's baby, father's maybe. You know, you have to raise your standards and protect your own interests as a woman. You know, you got to keep it real with these girls. I mean, I used to feel like a double agent. I'm working with the fellas in the evening. I'm working with the girls in the morning time. So I didn't really feel like I can change. I mean, the hatred, it seemed like. It wasn't even just we're going to use women to be our playthings. Sometimes it just sounded and felt like outright hatred. And there was no... It wasn't a whole lot of, you know, energy that I can, you know, convince these fellas to drop this destructive mindset towards the sisters. So I said, well, Let me start going directly to the young ladies and just telling them, look, you got to protect yourselves. These sellers don't care nothing about you. You know, you are nothing but a piece of meat to them. You know, they will use you, destroy your reputation in the society. They don't care about you. They don't care about your parents. They don't care about your reputation amongst your friends and neighbors. So you got to protect yourself. You got to put yourself first. You got to put education first. You got to become the strongest lady, woman that you can. And as you do that, you don't give no time to any brother that's falling under the personal standards that you are carrying for yourself. And I don't want to saddle the sisters with this burden, you know, as if they are the ones that's going to have to resurrect the family. But I do feel that has to play a critical role, not just for the sisters being able to protect themselves, but if the sisters don't give no play to these brothers unless they're getting their act together, I feel like more of these brothers would probably start trying a little bit harder, you know what I mean, to being who they need to be again so that they can get back into the graces of these sisters. So thank
and
you.
Brother
again.
Mike, thank you so much for that. Thank you for dropping it. I appreciate that. That's what I was like, okay, this is what needs to be said. Definitely. So I thank you, and we appreciate
you. Thank you.
That.
Thank you.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Tony, you there?
Yes, I am, sister. Tony. I'm here, and we're going to go take our next caller. This guy's been real patient. I got a few others who are also being very patient. Brother Mike X, man, you know this is home for you. You know, you bring it. You bring it, bro. You know, some folks probably still don't get it, but, I mean, how simple can you put it? And you make it very simple. You don't make it rocket science. You know, some of what you give basically is a lot of common sense, but what I'm finding out, common sense is not common. Go to the phone line and welcome this brother who's been very patient. Brother Mike, don't go nowhere. I'm going to put your mic on mute, but I want to bring this brother in, and that's Brother Jamie. Are you with us, Brother Jamie? Hello.
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Yes.
Hello.
So what's your view on tonight's topic, the President's Brothers Keeper Initiative?
Well, I actually just heard about it when I got an invite to tonight's show. But get your love to the panel first and foremost. Sit down, Minette. Much love to you, sis. Continue doing
peace,
what you're
Mr.
doing.
Peace, Mr. Elevation. Peace.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. But listen, My opinion in the whole thing is I had a talk with a sister the other day since moving over to Columbia, South Carolina, and she asked me what was my opinion on separate but equal. Now, listening to the conversation tonight, I think that plays a big part in the problem with Black America today. As being individuals, we lost our way somehow with segregation. I believe that if things were still separate but we were equal, we would be a better people. We are so dependent on the system. One of the biggest problems, as I see it, is the Black church. You understand? The Black church is where so many people go for rescue, for their savior. You understand? There's so many Black women, Black young men that are becoming, you know, that I can't even find the word, but they're getting effed up in the churches. If I can say, you understand, on every different level, we as a Black people, I can name how we're being effed and screwed in this system, politically, through the church, things you want to name. So just to piggyback on what the brother was saying earlier, I believe his name was Mike X, we have to, as individuals, you know, he has something called Block, I have something called Navy in Florida. My dream is to take Navy from Florida all through the 50 states. Why? Because I'm tired of seeing our Black youth being murdered, being preyed on. We have to stand and do something. I'm not waiting on the president to do shit for me. Bottom line, I'm not waiting on him. You know, it's up to us as individuals. This is our generation's time now to say, you know what we have to do? Stop being so dependent on government. Stop being so dependent on the next man who really don't give a damn about you and your well-being, who can't even recognize your struggle or what you're going through. We have to heal ourselves.
sisters. You know, stop going to church depending on the Jesus that ain't coming back for you. You understand? They have the mentality of, well, I can go to church. I'm going to be saved. I'm going to be healed. If they're going to the church to be healed and the church is not healing them spiritually, economically, or in any fashion, it's just not detrimental. That's the problem. You understand?
Jamie, that's a big part of the problem. I agree. That's a very big part.
You understand? And yet we have been conditioned to believe that we have some type of healing in the church. And we don't understand. Nope, the church is actually your problem. Have you noticed how many homos, and you know, I'm 2 weeks old, but have you noticed how many feminized brothers is in the church? Have you noticed how many sisters that beautiful black woman in the church?
Unmarried. I'm waiting on Jesus.
Right. Forget a man. I'm waiting on. Are you serious?
Right.
I mean, there is on every level we have been conditioned of effed up. Basically, we have been effed up. There has to be a detoxification of the black man. I don't think, you know, I'm not going to knock what Obama is doing, but I'm going to tell you, sister, I agree with everything that you're saying. This brother cannot relate 37-year-old black man here in Columbia right now. He cannot relate to the, for the most part, the average black young man in America. He cannot relate.
He cannot relate. I applaud everything that you guys are doing. The brother was asking you earlier in regards to a solution. The solution, as I see it, is individuality. You know, stop waiting on someone else to do for you. Do for yourself. And let's come together in unity as a community, as a family, first and foremost. You know, it does take a village. You understand? When you see something with someone of color, speak up on it. But it's how you do it. You understand? You don't have to go and criticize a sister. You don't have to go and criticize a brother. But give them corrective criticism. Brother, have you ever thought about doing it this way? Sister, have you ever thought about doing it that way? You know, our children really depend on us. They need structure. They want that. But there's so many women out there right now that would rather go shake their behind in clubs. So many brothers that would rather go, because that's what they're conditioned to do. We're dealing with a generation right now that MTV raised, BET raised. There's something that has to give. And it's going to start by turning off these TVs, man. Let's be real. Turn off your TVs. Get in the
media.
You understand what I'm saying? We have to do
it's
that.
Poison.
And for the most part, a lot of us, we deal with this ego thing. You know what I mean? We're so ego-tripping. I know. And what you don't know, I notice it so much on Facebook where we try to criticize one that, oh, I'm so conscious and I'm so that and I'm. Drop your ego for a minute. Let's deal with the healing of our people, man. That's what's important. Obama is doing whatever he's doing. My personal opinion in it, I voted for Obama, I believe, what was it, 2008 or whenever he first took office. He didn't get my vote the second time. Why didn't he get my vote? Because I don't see shit that the brother is doing for my community, and I realize that he can't even relate to me. He's a puppet, and I'll come out and say it. He's a puppet. You understand? We have to do for us. I'm going to close out by saying, I have Sister Aminette as a Facebook friend. Any of you other brothers out there that's willing to join my movement, my organization, we're about to make some heavy things happen. It's going to take some time, but we're about to make some heavy things happen. If N.A.V.Y in Florida, like I said, I'm taking Navy to almost every state. That's what I want to do. I'm tired of seeing our young black men dying because they're not given the opportunity or not given the resources. So let's kill them economically until they deal with what's happening in our community. We can do it. You understand? We put so much money in the BS, but yeah, we can't put money into our own community. The Korean money, the Jewish money, everything is flipping. Where's the black money at? It's going to them. That's where we have to start at. Bringing money back into our community. When we take money out of Florida, all the vacations that we take, when we take money out of Georgia and all these other places that have these stand your ground laws that's killing our children, and we bring it back to our community, can you understand what we can do as a people standing on our own and saying forget Obama's initiative program? We can do so much for ourselves, man. And I just want to thank you for your time, bro. Thank you for your time, Sister Aminette.
thank you so much, Jamie, for stopping in and dropping it. I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Before I go to the next caller, Brother Jamie, again, thank you for being part of our discussion tonight. You know, you were talking about empowerment, you know, and that's something that we refuse to do. Okay, we are the biggest consumers in the nation. The biggest consumers in the nation. Okay, our dollar holds a lot of power, and it's making others rich. And when do we start to realize the power we hold with our dollar? Okay, we are the biggest consumers who are making other folks rich.
Right,
this is not rocket science, people. All we have to do is start to boycott. Stop buying what we need and stop buying so much of what we want.
Right.
That
right.
will empower us. You know, I was having a discussion, I think it was with Sister Amunet, about the hair weave industry. Okay? We're not making no money off of that. But plenty of money is being made off of women of color behind hair weaves. Okay? Should there be a conscious decision and commitment to wear your hair natural, okay, and don't get a weave? Do you know what that would do to the hair weave industry? It would bring them to their knees. They would want us to come to the table, and guess what? They're going to offer shares in that industry. This is simple stuff. Simple stuff, you know. I hear, you know, the comments on the president and what he's not doing in our communities, but guess what? Are we holding our local and state governments accountable? We're not doing that. We're not talking about these governors and mayors. What about them? Because, you know I heard the president say this clearly. It is time to say yes about this minimum wage. And who do you think he's talking to? He's talking to local and state governments. Like, it's time to get on board. People are working and still living in poverty. That shouldn't be.
Right.
Because they're
exactly.
not making a living wage. We should boycott those who are not paying a living wage. This is power. We got power that we're not using. We got a lot of power that we're not using. And that's not the president's fault. That's our fault. Because we refuse to do something different. We refuse to activate the solution to our economic empowerment. This is simple stuff, and we want, I don't know. You know, what do we want? Nobody's coming to the rescue.
No, they're not.
But these are things we can make happen. There's no excuses for it. I can understand the conditioning, but we got too much awareness and consciousness. I'm sorry.
There's too much information out there. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. That is all that I am saying right now. Okay? We got to get off this pity pot, okay, because we got rings around our behinds, and we need to cut it out, for real. We really need to knock it off. I'm going to take a short break, and when I come back, we're going behind the wall, ladies and gentlemen. So don't go nowhere. Brother Jamie, don't go nowhere, because I'm going to bring you back shortly. But we're going to take a short break. We'll be back right after this.
Yes, sir.
Corruption. Then all of a sudden it's like spontaneous combustion, and I'm all up in your face yelling, bitch, you can't tell me nothing, cause I came from the bottom, now everybody's watching. I said it was my time, now I'm who everybody's blocking, and I'm just out here sprinting. I'm running right through my vision, I'm trying to outrun my past, but don't
that you beat and you can say,
to EIESOC Radio. I'm your host, Tony Nix. Welcome back. Tonight, we're talking about the President's Brothers Keeper Initiative. Our caller number is 424-258-9271. Press 1. I know you're in the queue. We got about 9 minutes of live on the air. If I go over 9:30, this will be taping for the next whatever minutes I decide to stay on. So if you want to call in, now is the time. Again, 9:30, we will be taping. I'm going to go right to the phone lines, and I'm going behind the wall, like I said. I want to welcome a brother from the Pops Movement, and that is Brother Hest. Good evening, brother. Can you hear me?
Peace and blessings. I hear you, big brother.
Peace.
All right, family, you know, when I heard this topic, the first thing I did was I went to the mentoring group that I helped to facilitate, and I asked them about this. And the first thing that they asked, they said, Brother Hess, what is an initiative? And I explained to them what it says in the Heritage Dictionary, you know, the power or ability to begin or follow through energetically with a plan or task, enterprise and determination. And one of the things that that led to was the fact that it's going to require everybody's energetic energies into this, you know, and that right there requires the open-mindedness. I understand that we have hang-ups about what people have done in the past, but right now it requires our focus on today. What can you bring to the table? What can you offer? What can you begin to design and develop that others can come into contact with and appreciate? When we spoke about this with the young men, we had about 40 guys in the room in a circle, and the young man first spoke, said, in being my brother's keeper, I keep my brother as I wish to be kept. And what has successfully kept me is what I offer him. You know, peace is living out one's purpose as successfully as possible. That brings peace in knowing that I understand why I've been brought here, what I need to do to successfully bring my people into the place that they need to be in order for peace and success. I got to love you the way I love myself. I got to offer you what I want for myself. And if you don't want it, then keep on moving till you find somewhere where you can grasp of what it is that you want. And that's what we are doing today. We're constantly going out and searching for methods and ways to bring peace to our life, purpose to our life. And I don't care if it's Obama's initiative, if it's, you know, our initiative, Fellas Alive in the Hood, you know, the faith movement up in New York, you know, Brother Sugar Ray got that movement up in New York, Brother Mike X, Enough is Enough, Save Our Children, Sister I'm Unet. You got brothers in Chicago, sisters in L.A. It don't matter who initiative you take up, but take up some initiative or design an initiative of your own that has worked for you and make it available to others to be able to acquire. And so, family, I think that for me personally, when I seen you blast this topic, I had to be here. We're on the air right now at Pop's Movement, but I had to exit the stage in order to come to this stage because – family, it's time for us to stop looking to point fingers and blaming or criticizing or downrating or either get with the program or build a program that others can get with, modify it so that it is acceptable in your eyesight so that you can be able to sell it to others. But let's get involved. Let's get active, and let's find a place that others can compel their energies in to move this ship forward. You know, we are sinking, and it's time to do something about the problem, man, and poking holes in the ship is not going to get us, you know, above float any better than what's going on right now. So I just say peace and blessings and love and service to the family. Let's get busy.
Yes.
Oh, yes, brother has, yes. This is the time to be busy. No time for procrastinating. Okay, I'm going to go back to the top of the list. I'm going to bring back Brother Roland. Brother Roland, can you hear me?
Yeah, yes, sir, I can. And thank you so much. Brother, that was just on. Harris?
Brother Hess.
Hello?
Brother Hess.
That was Brother Hess from Spoke Lab.
Oh, man, thank you so much, brother. I mean, I totally co-sign you, man. You know, like Obama told O'Reilly during the Super Bowl, said, let's not dwell, you know, based on these phony scandals, you know, Fast and Furious and IRS. And, you know, he told him, said, listen, man, let's not dwell on the fumble. Let's move the ball forward. And this is what, at least from my perspective, my brother's keeper is what we're trying to do, he's trying to do. Move the ball forward. I just want to leave you with one last piece of statistics that in terms of how President Obama has this thing laid out. Relative to the research, man, you know, he says that that during the first 3 years of life, a child born into a low-income family hears 30 million fewer words than a child born into a well-off family. He goes on to say that 30 million word deficit is very hard to make up. And if a black or Latino child isn't ready for kindergarten, then he's half as likely to finish middle school with a strong academic and social skills. The second piece he said was that if a child can't read well by the time he's in third grade, he's four times less likely to graduate from high school by the age of 19. That one, that if he happens to be poor, he's six times less likely to graduate. And the last point he laid out in his speech, this is all in his speech, you know, folks need to read, you know, what President Obama said in his speech when he announced this thing. He said that we know that Latino kids are almost twice as likely as white kids to be suspended from school. Black kids are nearly four times as likely. And if a student has been suspended even once, by the time they're in the ninth grade, they are twice as likely to drop out. So, I mean, this whole initiative, my brother's keeper, this is a well-thought-out, well-designed, and like I say, private industry, capitalistic venture. It's not if Congress wants to, you know, to fulfill some more money on top of this $400 million, then of course he will welcome it and he's going to write some bills for that. But as far as this program is concerned, getting it kicked off and, you know, the premise and all of the narratives about it, man, it's all about pulling up the bootstraps. And I challenge anybody out there, any of these pessimistic folks out there, if you got something going on that's got $400 million backing it and you can drop that down right now, hey, man, you can step up and talk about the president anytime you want to. But if you ain't got that cold hard cash that this man has and where he's dropping it at, I say, good brothers and sisters, chill out, man. Chill out and get with the program. Don't sit on the sidelines and criticize. I'll end my speech with that, brother.
Thank you, Brother Roland. Listen, join us anytime. We appreciate your comments, disagreeable or agreeable. Okay? You're always welcome here. Believe that.
Thank
I'm going to go
time.
To Brother Swain, his final comments. I'm going to get everybody's final comments, as a matter of fact. But I'm going in with Don Swiss. Final comments, my brother.
Basically, at the end of the day, we all need to support each other. We know what the problem is. We know what we need to do. Let's do it. You know what I'm saying? Let's stop putting the total package on Obama's shoulders. Because before Obama became president, of all the leaders that we had, with all the black leaders that we have that tried to make changes, to try to do things for us as a people, since the 60s, I'm an 80s baby, but since the 60s, you know, it seemed like collectively we have not bonded together to make certain things happen, just like the Jews do, you know what I mean? Like I work across the street from NRA, and the Jews, they collectively build each other's race up. That's why they're one of the strongest in America. We have to do it for each other. We cannot depend only on Obama. He can only do but so much. We have to put the initiative. We have to put the first step forward and make it happen. Because he's not the one that's putting us brothers in prison. We are.
That's right.
So we have to do it. What are we going to do about it? That's what I have to say.
Thank you, brother. Come back and join us very soon. You know you're always welcome here. Our next caller, final comment, and that is Brother Mike X.
Hey, peace, family. Yeah, it's not about Obama. It's not about any governors. It's not about Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, any one individual. You know, it has to be about a real grassroots awakening, and that has to be rooted across America. You know, any black community that you across this great, you know, nation that we're in, as great as it is, in the inner cities, wherever you at, where black people congregate in significant numbers, there is a total chaos, a total disintegration, and a total apathy, mediocrity, you know, of people, like, waiting for somebody else to do something. There has to be an awakening. It has to be grassrooted. It has to be about local leadership, people like us. You know what I mean? Beginning to get the message ourselves, taking example from those who went before us, representing the movement within ourselves, looking for every opportunity to build bonds, to awaken, to begin the necessary discussions so that we can begin to grow in power. It has to start from the lowest common denominator, and we go on up. I think too many times we want to start from the top. No, we need to be starting from the bottom. You know what I mean? And, yeah, you know, this is one of the biggest mistakes that we make. Yeah, we have made significant strides forward, and we have had great movements and great leaders. But what has happened too many times is the leader was dealt with, you know, either killed or imprisoned or exiled. Strike the shepherd and the sheep will – or set up. Strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. So then you had, like, there's been tremendous gaps, you know, interruptions where nothing was going on. And then you got to start from scratch again and try to build up momentum. And then what happens is sabotage, or it's derailed again. We got to stop looking at these big, giant, charismatic leaders and waiting for them to say go left, go right, go up, or go down. It needs to be grassrooted, you know, and autonomous in the neighborhoods. It needs to be about solutions and not complaining. You know, every single day that we awaken, we are free. We are free. We can make the moves that we need to make. We need to stop commiserating over what happened in the past. We need to stop looking at what they are doing and start with our own program. And it has to be about unity and organization, grassroots unity and organization, pooling of our political power, pooling of our local economic power. We need to start and not just think about boycotting. Let's start talking about building a local business, you know what I mean, and building a relationship with that local business. We need economic power that is based on a grassroots level that we can flood our dollars into so that that business can expand and thereby also be able to kick back a percentage of the money that's being accumulated in that business back into self-improvement projects and programs in the neighborhood. This would stop us from having to beg and plead outside philanthropic organizations and others to fund the programs in our neighborhood. We got money. We got money in our neighborhoods, but you know where it's going? It's going into $300 pair of sneakers. It's going into $500 pair of jeans. It's going into all types of different things. You know, that's about claiming a false status in this society. You know what I mean? Instead of building a real status in this society, which is taking back control of our neighborhoods and also building alliances with like-minded communities that are also under the gun so that we can begin to, you know, have a snapshot of the beloved community of well-meaning people of all races and all, you know, genders and economic backgrounds, so on and so forth. But I say first and foremost, and I'll say this till I die, as a black man, I want to see a black community, a viable black community. I will fight and die for that mindset, that belief, that if it's good for Little Italy, if it's good for Chinatown, if it's good for the Jewish community, it should be good for us.
Thank you, Brother Mike X.
No doubt.
Let me go here, Brother Hess, get his final comment. Brother Hess, are you there? Oh, I turned his mic on.
I think he had to go back to, is he there?
No, he's there. No, I had to turn his mic
okay,
on.
Great.
peace and blessings to the family. I just want to continue to uplift the movements, family, everything that's being done. It's not by osmosis. It didn't just happen. We got this way. So let's look at our history, and let's study our history, and let's bring it into today, what is being required of us today. We have before us many blueprints to go off of. Let's choose one. Let's begin to implement it. If it doesn't work, let's go to another one. There are many designs. There's nothing new up under the sun. So, family, let's begin to start organizing and orchestrating. And once we begin to heal the people, then we can mobilize the people. But until we heal them of what's hurting them and continuing to keep their focus on the bull jive, then we'll never be able to mobilize for something that's strengthening, uniting, and beginning to create what it is that we need as far as growth and development within ourselves and in our society of poverty-stricken America. I say many peace and blessings and love and service to the families. Thank you so much, Tony and Sister Amunette.
Peace and blessings to you, my brother. Keep doing what you're doing, man. Wow, you know, I got a lot of admiration for you, my man. A lot, you know. Y'all are building. I'm watching y'all, I'm listening, and, you know, like they say, y'all doing the damn thing, man, you know.
That's
so
powerful.
You know, you got our support big time,
yeah.
And we really appreciate your support. We really do. All right, so I'm going to take this next caller, get his final comment, and that is Brother Jamie. Brother Jamie, you there?
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Final comment before we close the show.
Yes, sir. I really don't have a final comment. I just want to say thank you for the opportunity to let me, I guess, basically vent. It's time for us to wake up. That's all. I just thank you for the opportunity to allow me to speak.
Listen, come back and join us anytime. Anytime. It was a pleasure having you on with us tonight. Thank you so much. Sister Amunette, final comment.
I only have two words, and they're two Swahili words, umoja, which is unity, and kuti chagalia, which is self-determination. Those are the two factors that we need, main factors that we need in our community. If we have self-determination and unity, we can move mountains. So that's it, just two words, umoja, kuti chagalia, self-determination and unity. That's it.
And you know what? Two great words that we need to repeat time and time again until folks get it, because it's real easy to catch on. You know, folks learn stuff, you know, all that other crap that we hear on the radio. People learn lyric for lyric, you know what I mean? What you just said is real easy, real easy. My final comment is this. You know, the president said there was a personal responsibility that must be a part of this initiative. And right away I read and heard that personal responsibility was not part of the equation. Well, I got to tell you, I disagree with that 110%, because from what I've heard here tonight, there is a personal responsibility. And that personal responsibility lies on us. It is time for us to be responsible and accountable for our own on all levels, on all levels. Because if we're not responsible and we're not accountable, nothing is going to work. Nothing is going to work. We're going to get frustrated. We're going to say, well, that they did this and it didn't work and they did that, because we're not being accountable and taking responsibility for our own. And we have to on all levels. I heard it said about young women. There's a responsibility they need to take, okay? It's time to implement morals and principles and start looking at their bodies differently. Your body is not about a big butt, how long your weave is, how many tattoos you got that invites negativity. Your body is a temple. If no one told you, I'm telling you. It is a temple that gives birth to life. That's real special, believe it or not. If no one's ever told you that, that's real special. Men can't do that. We plant a seed. So you got to start looking at who you letting plant seeds in you. And you men, that seed that you plant, don't plant a poisonous seed. Because if you poison, you're going to plant a poisonous seed. So it is time to grow up and step up. Stop being irresponsible. Stop letting the media and those you think are schooling you who are really fooling you take you down a road you don't want to go. Time to shake that spell that someone talked about. Time to listen up. Do things different, not the same old, same old. Yes, sure, we've been conditioned, but it's time to uncondition. We got too much information. We got too much awareness. It is time to say no to certain behaviors. It is time to be our brother's keeper. Because it is on us. Basically, it is on us. Time to take some actions. We know what the problems are, but we got some solutions. Time to activate them. Because they're not going to turn on by themselves. We got to do it by any means necessary. Time to implement critical thinking. Now, I know a lot of folks don't have that. But we can teach you how to think critically. Look at what the results is going to be behind some decisions that you may make. Ask yourself, are you ready to take on those results? Like impregnating someone and you have no way of supporting the child that's going to come into this world. Taking preventive measures to do better. This is simple stuff. This reckless living is just going to make it worse than what it already is. Prison and gun violence have claimed enough of you young men. I know y'all want something different. Y'all looking for guidance. I know you're angry inside. There's a rage inside. I get it. I come from that, rage, angry, and don't know what I'm angry about half the time. I'm just angry. Know how to fix that. Know how to help you heal from that. So ask yourself, are you ready? Because I'm ready to give you what you need, unconditionally, from the grassroots. I can bring you from the gutter to the top. Are you willing to go? All you need is a little bit of willingness, and we can make this happen. See, I learned how to be my brother's keeper over 20-something years ago when my behind was raggedy and toe up. Some cats stepped up for me, and they said, listen, partner, this how it go. You want this? We got it for you, unconditionally. And I'd had enough. The pain had become great enough. And I said humbly, yes. Yes. And I kicked and screamed going through the process because there were some things that I didn't want to do, not because it would hurt me. It was because I wasn't used to it and it was uncomfortable. See, I was used to that pain. But this new stuff, I didn't have a clue about. It didn't feel right, and I wasn't accustomed to it. So it took some practice. But the more I practiced, comfortable I became. And I began to change. So the Brothers Keeper Initiative can do a lot for our young men of color. But it's up to cats like myself and Brother Hess and Mike X and Don Swiss and Brother Roland and Jamie and Sister Amionette. We have solutions. Sure, we may disagree on some things. At the same time, we are not going to allow our disagreements get in the way of helping. Do what needs to be done. Listen, you've been listening to EIESOC Radio. My name is Tony Nix. If no one told you they loved you today, God does, and so do I. And the sooner that we get involved in our community, the better. If you want to find Enough is Enough, Save Our Children, you can find us on Facebook, or you can go directly to our website. That's Enough is Enough, Save Our Children.org. You can register to become an official member of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. And while you're there registering, do me a favor. Leave a donation. Because, see, to make things happen, money is needed. And guess what? We got it. We need to get up off it. When Rev said drop that 10, 15% in, you drop it in. I'm not asking for that. EIESOC is not asking for 10% of your earnings. Small donation will do, $5, $10. But we need donations. We have wish lists. If you want to keep us on the air, then you need to donate. We want to put a kid through school. We need donations. We can make it happen. We can make so much happen in a lot of different ways and on all levels. We can bring our communities back. We can start to stand and say no. There's a brother the other day, I read about him out of Brooklyn, Brother Spike Lee. You know, he made some statements that for me will hold true. The gentrification of our neighborhoods here in the five boroughs of New York City. What he said is true. I don't care if he used a few cuss words, because that's what the media focused on, of course. But what he said was right on point. So listen, folks, time to get involved, because the sooner we have no violence, the sooner we will know peace. That's KNOW Deuces. Y'all have a blessed night. We'll be on the air pretty regular now. We're coming, and we're coming different. I'll talk to you real soon. Stay tuned. Our show will be scheduled again sometime midweek. Good night, everybody.
Let it sweat me, baby.